Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever given up? Have you ever lost hope? Have you ever stopped believing that there could be a positive outcome in a given situation? All of us have experienced this on a smaller scale. Let's say you're a sports fan. You may lose hope that your team is going to make the playoffs. Or let's say you're a spouse and you lose hope during an argument of being understood by your spouse. Or maybe you're someone who has lost hope of ever finding another job after being laid off at your work. I guess it's common to humanity that we all temporarily lose sight of hope at times. But far, far fewer of us have ever truly experienced what it feels like when all hope seems lost, when it seems that there is no hope. Now, you might feel like you had lost all hope if you were ever to find out that you or your spouse had some untreatable and incurable form of cancer with only a few months to live. Or you might feel like you had lost all hope if you were deeply in love and committed to someone who you discovered had cheated on you and dumped you for somebody else. Or you might feel like you had lost all hope if your child were ever abducted, and after weeks of fretting and searching, the police informed you they had recovered the body. Well, Adam had lost absolutely all hope. On the day when he and his wife sinned against God and they forfeited paradise, there was nothing left in the way of hope. It's hard to even imagine the hopelessness that Adam must have felt as he hid from God in the bushes of that garden. Adam lost all hope of living forever after he brought death into the world single-handedly as the result of his great disobedience against God. Adam lost all hope after he failed as the first man to represent the whole human race, knowing that he had not only ruined his relationship with God, but that he had ruined it for all of his descendants after him. Adam lost all hope after he was exiled from his garden paradise and subjected to a harsh way of life that he knew would soon end in death. Biblically, what is hope? And what does it mean to lose hope? Hope in the Bible is looking forward with complete certainty to things that God has promised us in Christ, even before we have seen them with our own two eyes. In biblical terms, then, to lose hope is to despair of God's help. It's losing our foundational Christian conviction that God not only forgives us in Christ, but that he is for us in Christ. In biblical terms, those who don't know Christ as their Savior find themselves living their entire lives, the Bible says, without God and without hope in this world. For everything that they have put their hope in disappears at their death. In biblical terms, those who live without hope are really living in exile from God. And as the result of sin, we will remain in exile. We will be held captive to the fear of death and to the power of the devil, until we come to believe that Jesus has set us free by his death and resurrection. Mercifully, God didn't make Adam live without hope for very long. For God addresses the serpent and the woman and Adam just after they fell into sin. And God would immediately restore hope through the first gospel promise found in Genesis 3:15. And there we see that Adam's hope was reborn. When God promises in Genesis 3:15 that from the woman's offspring, a Savior would be born. And though the prophecy says that his heel would be bruised in the process, it also says that he would literally crush the evil one underfoot as he restored man to God. And this foreshadows our Lord's great death on the cross. For it is on the cross where we see the male offspring of Eve, bruised by death, but crushing forever the evil one. We know Adam's hope was reborn because Adam gives his wife a very positive and hopeful name, the name of Eve, which means mother of all the living. Up until this first gospel promise was given, she had only been called the woman or Adam's wife. But it is after the promise that God makes that Adam names her Eve. Because from her offspring a son would be born that would restore life to a dying world. And so she really would be the mother of those who were living. Adam's hope was reborn when Eve declared at the birth of her firstborn son, "I have gotten a man, the Lord." Eve mistakenly believed Cain was the Messiah that God had promised. Cain obviously didn't meet those requirements. But this shows that hope had returned to Adam because he and Eve were looking for God to restore their life through that offspring. In reality, it would be centuries before that promise came true in Jesus. And so the entire history of the Old Testament and of Israel is really a history of hope. In patient hope over the centuries, the Lord's prophets were guided by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote down messianic prophecies in Scripture. And these prophecies foretold the arrival of another Adam, the last Adam, a second Adam, who would come into this world to right all the ancient wrongs by crushing sin and death and Satan. In patient hope, the Lord's people searched the Scriptures intently as they waited on God's promise to be fulfilled. In fact, they searched every prophecy of Scripture to determine when it would be that this son of Adam would be born. In patient hope, our Lord's pedigree, which was read earlier, established that Jesus' human ancestry could be traced all the way back to Adam, to show that Jesus was that son of Adam, that son of hope that had so long ago been promised to Adam and Eve. Now, in his letter to the churches, the Apostle Paul will talk about the old Adam and the new Adam. He will compare the first Adam to the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. God has restored hope in us through the gospel. For by faith, we know that the last Adam, in a rematch against the devil, restored to us what the first Adam lost. The last Adam, unlike the first Adam, represented mankind successfully this time and restored innocence, life, salvation, and peace with God for us. Through the unrighteous act of the first Adam, death came upon all men. But through the one righteous life and death of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, all sinners who are like the first Adam in that respect have been forgiven and restored and have life and hope. The first Adam failed God miserably, as we often do. He succumbed to the temptations of the devil. But the second Adam was victorious and fulfilled that very first gospel promise. The first Adam was but dust, and he returned to dust. But Jesus, as the last Adam, is immortal, and he gives us the confident hope of resurrection and immortality and peace with God and the restoration of paradise lost. My friends, our hearts are held captive to this hope. By faith, we are linked to this hope. Willingly, we are bound to it. We are chained to this hope like a boat that is anchored so that it will not waver, so that it will not be tossed about by every new wind and wave of doctrine that sweeps across its bow. There are those in our secular world who at Christmas time gloat that they are free and independent thinkers, and they have outgrown the need to believe in God. They will brag that they are not held captive to the hope of Christ that is going to be offered to them once again this Christmas. But these free thinkers are not as free as they think. For they are like the first Adam, and they will surely die in their sins. And they are surely held captive to the fear of death. But as for ourselves, we are glad to be prisoners of hope. The hope that we will soon celebrate in the birth of the Christ child. You see, we have no desire to be free from this hope. We cling to this hope tightly. We claim it tenaciously. We hold on to this hope as much as this hope holds on to us in Christ. For my friends, it is by this hope that we are saved. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.